It's good to be with you again this morning, and trying to think of something fresh, current, in our day and age that we're living in. And I'm sure we're all aware of the credit crunch in our country and globally as well, as we think upon, well, if you had any shares or any savings or any pension that you did have and maybe you're looking forward to, and all of a sudden you saw a great hole appear in it, and the prospect of it to struggle to attain its forecasted value, you know, going back a few years, which for many people sad, unfortunately, for even folks that work beside me who unfortunately were made redundant just a couple of months ago. 22 people on the shop floor did not have that kind of look forward to package any longer. It was the basic minimum, as it were, as we now call it. And it was sad to see people who maybe served 35 years, 30 years service, probably going out to be a mere pittance because of the state of the economy. And if we did look upon that, you would get a lot of gloom and doom if there was no hope. But we this morning can look beyond that. Money and all of its attraction and all that it can bring, and unfortunately, if you love it so much, it can become a severe hindrance. In fact, a god it can become. But the hope that we have to share with you this morning is greater, it's spiritual, and it will last forever. And that is the person of Jesus Christ and his salvation, which will last if you trust in him and trust in his finished work in Calvary, that you will indeed live forever in his heaven, as we're trying to tell the children. And it's only through trusting him that you will ever see such a place. And there is many people over the years have tried many ways to try and get to heaven. We're looking at some footage just the other week there of archaeology, and back to Egypt we went again. It seems to be the place to be always for the historians to find this and to find that. The pyramids and everything else that is within them and underneath them. Of men, great men in their day and their time, who obviously considered their future. In fact, they thought they could take the things of this world with them into the future. And we can see the evidence of that in many museums throughout the world. So these men realize within themselves that spiritually, the dimension within us that is spiritual and is soul, they took time to think about this and say, look, I'm going and I'm taking everything that I have, that I value, into this tomb with me, and I'm going with it. But that amazes me is the fact that these men, with all their wealth and all their power, they realised within themselves that there was still something missing. And I'm sure you're no different today. For those of us who know the Lord, which is many of us, we revel in the fact that the hope that we have is that we will certainly will be. There is no doubt about it. We will be with Jesus one day, in whom we have put our trust. And that's what I want to share this morning. Three men, briefly this morning, I just want to share with you in Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 12, we read of a man in verse 16. And it's, I've got my AV with me this morning. And this is what he says. Another parable for our learning. These parables were fantastic, not just stories. They had all credence and sustenance in them that had a meaning, and we still talk about them today. And there is real meaning in them. And he speaks a parable and saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow all of this harvest. It was great. It was abundant. It was beyond his greatest expectation. The ground had delivered. God had produced once again, season within season, and he had a bumper crop. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I will pull down these old barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all the fruits and the harvest and my goods also. I will say then to my soul, this was the foolish bit that he done, I thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I think we hear that phrase quite a lot today, party, merry, never thinking in the future. I've won the lottery, I've won the pools, well, that's maybe not so much nowadays, but whatever it is, wealth comes all of a sudden in an instant nowadays, and I'm going to do everything I ever wanted to do, ever I wanted to have, and I am really going to party. That's what he said. But God said unto him, you fool. That's strong language for God. Any to be called a fool, and nowadays it is very, very strong. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose will all this be? That's what the pharaohs and all these great men who thought they had an eternal scenario, thinking that they could bring all this with them. We come into this earth with nothing but our skin. And we will certainly go out with nothing from this world. So it is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Your soul will be required of these, and whose will then be? This man, unfortunately, like maybe most folks nowadays, I find, going back even, we always used to say 25, but I'm getting older, so it's further back than that now, must be about 40 odd years ago, people had a sense of God. Either by coming to places like this, or churches which are on every street corner in all of our towns, which have been now converted into something, except a church. They were all at least a God consciousness around them, and we learnt it from either Sunday school, boys brigade, girl guides, all these good bodies, and they were teaching goodness and also a message of the gospel of hope and about Christ Jesus. Sadly, today, great seeing all these kids here. You are blessed with all these youngsters that come here, and I pray hard for you, and that you'll be praying hard that you can keep them. That's a hard bit. They come to an age, being involved in it all my days, getting them up to a good age, and then school. High school. Uni. It's grabbing and keeping hold of them there. Need to develop and work hard at keeping these youngsters, and hopefully that they find the Lord here before they even get there. And that's the challenge. But it's great seeing them here because they're learning the message. I learned the message. I didn't come from a Christian background neither. I learned the message in Lark Hall through going to Sunday school, Bible class. Because I wanted to go there at that particular time. It wasn't a chore for me. But once I went to high school, that was a bit more difficult. Guys knew where I went. Why are you going there? Because they didn't go. They weren't encouraged to go. But nowadays, I find that is not even there. Folks, and it's great to see the parents of these folks, these kids here, and they send them. That's even great in this day and age, whether they're from their local area or whatever. The fact that they're here is brilliant. Because in many other places, this is a no-no. This is a place of weakness. You don't come here. You're tarnished if you come to places like this as a youngster in this day and age. So they're never hearing the message of the gospel. They're never hearing about God. This man here, he had no recollection of God at all in his life. I'm sure he's totally barren. Here he is, a wonderful crop. And I am always amazed at the likes of people who are involved with the natural things of our world, how that they don't talk to them, and how that through the very Creator God that they dismiss it. Here's a man who's sowing seed all of his life, and he sees every harvest a bumper crop and a crop and a crop, and it delivers all the time. They never fail. Seed in, flower up. Seed in, food out. Seed time and harvest, God has never failed. And this man here had still never even taken God into his recollection. Why? Because here he has got the most biggest crop he ever had in his life, and it's beyond belief, and he's come barns can't he take it. He's what I'm going to do. So he tears everything all down and he builds up brand new and bigger and better. And I'm not saying that was any harmful in itself, that's fine, but it's the attitude of his mind and his heart and his motives was all wrong. He then all of a sudden sees this amass of money and before him and what the profit it would bring to him. And that's when he says, unfortunately, he talks to himself and his soul, he talks to the real you and me. Listen, I've made it. I've got it. I can't get in it. I'm going to eat, drink and be merry. In no regard to anything else whatsoever. He never took God into his reckoning, and what God then says, you're a fool. If you're going to ignore me in your life, you're a fool. If you think you're here just for, you know, 70 years, 80 years, 10, 12, whatever span of life, if you think you're just here to be here with no purpose, and you don't think about me at all, you will be in a lost eternity, because, listen, I'm giving you these years on this earth to do something about it. And what I'm looking for is, I'm looking for you to find my sons, the Lord Jesus Christ, and worship him and come to me, and then I'll take you into my heaven. If you're not doing that, you've missed the reason why you're here at all. And many people will ask that question, why am I here? All the big questions, why am I here? Intellectuals will not ask that question because they're frightened of the answer, because the book they don't believe, that's where the answer is. And they'll give you hundreds of books that they have written why they will not believe it, and why it's so good to avert yourself like the golf. If you're going to go that way and that way, you're in the wrong way. And they think that they themselves are God. And anybody who does not believe in God and the Creator and his salvation, you are a God in yourself. You're suiting yourself. Believe it. You are your own God as you. If you're not trusting in God through his Son, the Lord. This man, no recollection at all. Couldn't care. He's doing it his way. The old song. Frank Sinatra, he did it my way. Are you doing it your way? Hopeful that, you know, with all that money, I could pay my way to salvation, you know. This wee fella, I'm sure he could have got a checkbook out and he could have signed any amount of money to get to heaven. But it's not based on that. It's based on faith in Jesus Christ and in his finished work. Over to Luke chapter 18. We hear another young man. And he comes to the Lord Jesus. And he calls him good master in verse 18. Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? There is none good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against thy neighbour. Honour thy father and thy mother. And that's quite a fair list, you know. That covers more or less everything that you and I could and can do in our lives. Maybe not physically. And this is where the young man kind of tripped himself up. Albeit the Lord, Jesus did not trip him up and say, hey, wait a wee minute, I know you better than you know yourself. He didn't say that to him. Gracious is the Lord Jesus. But the young man in himself, as we studied that, he hadn't a clue what he had said. That's fine, but he's human. He wasn't Jesus himself, who was perfect. Here's a young man saying, well, I've kept all these from my youth up. I'm sure, and physically I had done. But hey, in here, we commit these things daily. Do we not? Or at least we're tempted to commit them daily. If we're honest with ourselves, and you know, this is only eternity that will reveal that. And for those of us who know the Lord, it will reveal. If we don't keep short accounts to the Lord and get down on our knees and ask forgiveness and confess our sin to him and keep short accounts. But this young man, what I liked about him, was that the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, look, fine, okay, if you've never done these physically, I accept that. He says, but you lack one thing, young man. You've more or less got maybe all the same riches as the man number one. He says, and again, unfortunately, you think too much about them. So what you could do is, if you sell all of them and distribute them to the poor and to the needy, he said, then what to do is, you come and you follow me. And I saw this young man looking at who was surrounding the Lord Jesus. It was Peter, John, or these fishermen. These big rough and ready blokes. And I saw this young man looking in his your own eye, and you can see, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to associate myself with these guys. You've got to be kidding. I'm back with the house and the hill, with the car, with the cash. I've got everything. And you want me to distribute all that out and then follow it. See, the cost is your life to trust Jesus. He's not one part of it, he needs all of it. And this young man, laser thinking, I can't do that. In fact, I'm not going to do that. It says at the end of the story that he left very, very sad. Whether that was an extreme to his riches, he went very, very sad. Now, the difference between him and the other man was that he acknowledged who God was, at least. And he acknowledged who could give him the answer to his question. How can I get into your heaven? How can I get eternal life? How can I live beyond the grave? The person he went to? Jesus. You need to go to the same person if you're not sure. You go to Jesus for eternal life. And he comes, but the answer he was expecting, again, like the first guy, he could have had a check. This young man certainly had a check ready, and I'm sure he had it in his pocket. And he came, and he said to the guy, what must I do? And we always want to do something. We want to go and do, you know, a penance or a climb a mountain, as young people or folk do, walk on hot coals and do this and do that, to try and get and work their way and appease themselves to heaven. This young man could have written a check with millions of zeros behind it to get into heaven, but that wasn't the way in. It was to come, sell all you got, and you come and follow me and become one of my disciples. Become one of us. This band of followers, and follow me and tell the world of my gospel. And he goes and he moves. And he goes away. So one didn't even take God into consideration. He does. So he's at a crossroads and decides not to do it. I can't make it for you. Your wife, your husband, your mum and your dad, your children who have trusted the Saviour, they can't make that decision for you. You can't blame anybody else on that great day when you stand before the Lord Jesus and say, look, and he's saying, yeah, I died for you. I give you an opportunity. You live 72 years. You maybe even live 87 years. 89. And you still never took 1 year or 1 day to trust me. And to trust my son. And to trust my finished work in Calvary. And that's your decision. I've done it. I'm here, I believe it, I teach it, I preach it, and I want to share it, and I want you to find them this morning before it's too late. Because once your breath's gone, it's too late. So this young man, very sadly, disappeared into the horizon and did not get satisfied that day because he never trusted and never followed the Lord Jesus. Lastly, next chapter, 19. We read of a little man who we all know and love through our Bible stories and through our Sunday school days. A little man who was called Zacchaeus, and he stayed in Jericho. And you know this was the last time that Jesus was moving off. He was never going to return to Jericho. He was never coming back to his doors at all. He didn't know that. But there was such a fracas and such a multitude had gathered to see this man Jesus and the works and the miracles that he was doing. That this wee man, he was hated, unfortunately, in the town of Jericho. Because he was the wee man that did the work for the Romans, as we know. He sat and he took in everything in, all the taxes from this and from that and from the next. And he was Jewish, into the bargain. And that would have rubbed them up the wrong way. And probably somebody in Scotland pinching money for Scots, you'd have been hated. Because he was a man who was taking in, you know, two chickens, right? And one for himself and one for the government. You know? And a cow or a sheep or a lamb. He was Mr. 10%. He's shoveling it in at the bank all the time. And they knew that and they couldn't do nothing about it. And that's why he was so hated. But even at that, hey, Jesus Christ said that whosoever will comes to me, I will give him eternal life. So let's not grade each other. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you sin, you sin. No matter which one it was you done, unfortunately, they're all classed the same. We put degrees on sin. God doesn't. You break one, you've broken them all. In your head, as we used to say. So this little man, this massive crowd comes into his town. Why on earth is this man so popular? And he'd heard about this, and he'd heard about the great healings they had done, and the words he was saying, they're saying this man's never, nobody else has ever spoken like him. He's different. And he claims, not so much in as many words, but he claims to be the Son of God. And you remember John the Baptist, he baptized him in the Jordan, and a wonderful thing happened that day. The heavens opened, and a voice came saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is the same guy. So he made a point. And I'm sure, I don't know what got him up out of his chair and run to the very end of the town, because he was very small. And this crowd, he just couldn't see over the crowd and even get muscled in. It was just massive. And Jesus in the centre. And they're going with the crowd all the way out to the very last gate. And I know that Zacchaeus, he ran. And he goes down, and we know the story that he went up a sycamore tree at the very end of the avenue. And he sees the crowd coming down, approaching. And he's in the foliage and he's hidden, and I'm sure he had his black coat on or something else on, so he wouldn't be seen and hidden up there. And all of a sudden the crowd comes down and they stop right underneath the tree. Can you imagine it? I'm sure he's saying, come on, move on. The panic it set in his heart, I'm sure, would have been something to be felt. Like yourself, just put himself in your own position. Here he is, a wee man who's in a seat of custom, an important guy in the town, they hate him, and he's up a tree. It sounds stupid. But he was so bent on seeing who this man was. Because I'm sure that within himself he'd reached a stage in his life that all this riches that he'd accrued up also, wasn't he bringing him the happiness within his soul? He also, like the other two, or the other chap, he was looking for an answer beyond his life. I'm convinced of it. So much so that he takes himself down to this tree and he's up there, and the Lord speaks next, and he speaks his name, knowing anybody else's name. I don't know if there are any more Zacchaeus in the crowd. I haven't a clue. But all he said is, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and get out of that tree, because I'm going to your place for tea today." And you imagine being next to the Lord Jesus in that crowd, him saying that, whether it was audibly heard or not, or whether it was just a 1-2 to him. God being God, let's remember that Christ was God manifest in the flesh, and nothing is beyond him. Nothing is beyond him knowing your mind and me totally, as he did Zacchaeus. He knew Zacchaeus was there. No one else could see, but he knew him, and he knew he was there, and he knew he was searching, and he knew his heart, and he was going to give him the opportunity to trust him that day or no. The young man got his chance to trust him, and he didn't. And he met Jesus face to face. He's one of those special people in the Bible that we read about who actually met God face to face in the presence of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? God's man on the earth, and he's talking to him, and he's a conversation, and says, "No." How much more do you need? If Jesus Christ had even to come back today, how many would believe his message? How many would believe Jesus Christ was God's Son if he did come back the day in our lifetime, as he did before? You know, his own family had no time for him. They rejected him. This young man, he rejected him. Here's Zacchaeus getting the chance, talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he even went one stage where he says, Zacchaeus, I'm even coming to your house. I'm going to meet your family. You know, Zacchaeus could have stayed up that tree all day long by sheer embarrassment. And never made a move. Never moved a muscle. So that not one of those leaves would move to even give any idea that there was somebody up there. And then this man was talking a load of rubbish and gibberish. I'm glad to say that Zacchaeus came down. Of all his embarrassment, he came down. Why? Because he was searching for something in his soul and he knew he needed it before it was too late. Because when Jesus left Jericho again, he never came back. And he would never have had his chance again. Albeit he didn't know it. But he wasn't given that another hope, another thought, because he was down the tree. And I wonder what the buzz was. You know what gossip's like and what tongues are like. Eh? Oh, hey, it's Zacchaeus. Where? And he talks to the Lord Jesus in the conversation. And the two of them walk off into his house. And that day, Zacchaeus trusted Jesus. And not only that, because he'd done it, his whole family joined in and he trusted the Lord as well. His whole household, through one father, one husband, coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest thing is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ changed his whole life as he does others who come to him. A man who is greedy beyond belief says to the Lord and to all around, of all the things that I have done and stolen, I will give it four times back to those who have stolen. So that means then that his wealth all of a sudden would just disappear. Gone. It wasn't important anymore. Now all of these stories have all got something to do with riches. You know what's that? You know, riches are very hard to handle. When I see that this is, what is it, this weekend or next weekend, there's a special rollover for double-figure millions. And this whole world are into that. Thinking, the disillusionment, that that is going to bring them everything that they ever needed. How could they spend it anyway? It would take out more than a lifetime to spend such money if one or two persons even got it. Listen, my friend, as we heard just slightly in the meeting previous, you know, the sun that we don't see very much of, except this week, it's always shining. Do you know that? If you're on a plane, going to America, going to the Canaries, going wherever you go, Madeira, now and again, the sun is always shining. And you see it up there. But unfortunately, that grey matter that is in between is the clouds, and we never see it. Hardly here. And that's what the riches do. They grey the area between the sun and you and me. And we've got to get those clouds out the road in our life so that we see the sun. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the sun. And we trust him. And that applies to us all. So be careful with the spondulics. What it means to you and where it sits with you in your life, because if you let it as a monster grow within you, it can kill you spiritually. So be careful. And all of these men handled it differently, and I'm glad to say, and I like the Zacchaeus story very well, he handled it the right way. He gave it all away and he found Jesus, found great treasure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure your treasure's in heaven and you find a way this morning. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus. For him who came from heaven, gave up everything. And he came and he died on an old rugged cross. And shed his blood for us, that we might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a lost eternity without Jesus. No one ever wants to go to a lost eternity to our Father without you. in a place where you have created for them who have no time for you. Father, we trust indeed that for those of us who know you and love you, we'll be encouraged by your word this morning to serve you better, to live for you daily, to be careful in where our motives and our desires are, and help us to look forward to the time when Jesus will return, or should death overtake us, we shall certainly be in your heaven. We will see Jesus, the one who died for us. For those who are still struggling, our Father, with coming to know you, may they know that your grace is sufficient to meet all their need, and that you will give them this chance once again to trust you, and that they won't put it off yet another day, and they will trust you for themselves and know life and what the meaning of life really is, and that is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to praise your holy name. So, Father, we give you thanks. Bless these children who are in class. We give you thanks for every one of them. We covet them to you, and we pray that you would save their young souls. May they come to know the true gospel, the true Saviour, and trust you now, young, and set them up for life, to trust you for all of their life. We really pray this, our Father, in your name. We give you thanks.